Hey, guys, welcome to Listen. It is Monday. It is that 7 o'clock fancy hour, and we're having a great conversation tonight with an amazing, phenomenal, awesome woman. She's been across our platform before. You know her. For those who don't, I will introduce you to her, and I guarantee you, once you meet her, you definitely will fall in love with her. Along with, she has an amazing story that she's going to share with us tonight. I'm excited that she's here. I'm excited that you are already here with me. I am your girl, Ree. This is Listen. Come on in the room. The doors are open and the experience is starting now. Yes, listen, we're here this evening. Thank you for joining me. Hey, Daddy, thanks for coming on up in the room. I need you guys to share the love. I need you to let everyone know that it's Monday and your girl is here. I am here. And we are catching up tonight. How was your day? How was it going? It is Monday, and Mondays are so hard sometimes, but it's okay because we've made it through. We got over. And tonight, we're just going to uplift you and inspire and once again share an amazing, amazing story with this beautiful, phenomenal woman. And I'm not saying that because she's, don't tell Shauna, she's my aunt. Don't worry about it. We don't worry about it. She's just that lovely person. And I'm glad that she's here tonight. I'm glad that you're here tonight. And I need you guys, you still have time. You still have time to share. We're going to be before you for about an hour. You know how we do. And according to how the conversation goes, we might be a little bit longer, but we'll see how it goes. So I will not hold it any longer because I just bursting with excitement and bursting with joy to let you know that Aunt Angie is in the building and she's coming through to share her story about the book that she just wrote, her contributing author. And we know that all her contributions is just that contribution. And you are so lucky to have her in your corner and have her contributing to your story and adding her story in as well. So I'm going to bring her into the room. Angie, come on in the room with me.
Hey, my beautiful niecey.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I am awesome. I'm happy to be home finally. Today was just those Mondays, one of those days.
Yes.
Just one of those days. But it's okay because we're here. Made it safely.
Yes.
And I get to see your lovely smiling face.
And yours too.
And we're catching up. So what have you been having going on since the last time we talked?
Well, since COVID, I have became an author for the first time, which has also provoked me to start my own single project. But for now, I'm a contributing author to her story, and it's on. It's not in hardback form yet, but it will be very soon. But you still can get it on Amazon on your tablet. And my chapter in this project is called "Living with Jezebel," and it ain't a woman. Yeah. Oftentimes, you know, we've been taught that Jezebel is always the female gender.
Yes.
But if you research it long enough and you open your mind up to embrace everything that you've learned, you will find that it is also the male gender. Maybe not so popular in the male form as it is in a female form. But imagine living, being married to a male in a heterosexual marriage, and he has the Jezebel spirit.
Wow.
That in itself is just, it's beyond words. because his traits can remind you of your own traits, but yet you're in a heterosexual marriage. And not only that, to know that he's an abuser. He was mentally, emotionally, and verbally abusive. He tried it very slightly physical, but it didn't work because he knew I was a tough contender. You know, I make light of that, but overall, it's still sad. And he was my husband and my pastor at that time.
Wow.
And yeah, when we meet a man and we marry them, we look for them to protect us, not to hurt us.
Exactly.
You know, and to later to find out that he really has a personality disorder as a narcissist.
Wow.
I didn't know until I started reading about that. That is a real mental health diagnosis.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, right? So you have that Jezebel spirit, which is narcissistic. A man who's supposed to be your protector, but he's the very one that's bringing you down.
Right.
Any affirmation you may have received, you know, from your dad, your brothers, your uncle, whomever, they want to destroy that so they can gain control to control you. So after 10 years, it was my time to share my story. I took so long because I didn't want to be another angry Black woman. I wanted to heal so that I can help.
Exactly.
And domestic violence is real in our churches. It's real.
Wow. You said a lot of things in that short amount of time. I wasn't ready. So I know you guys weren't ready either. So if you missed the beginning of her story, you know we are streaming on our.com, tkbsdsproductions.com, Unmute, Uncensored. We are there. We are also streaming on all of our YouTube networks, and our podcast is on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Anchor, Google, all of that. We're here. So I wasn't ready. So, you know, I'm going to go back because, one, you said a very important part that, yes, when we talk about Jezebels, and when I was taught that, and the older women used to refer to some of the younger women and say, you're acting like a Jezebel. No one ever explained that that could be in a male form either. And then you also said that you were the great contender and that he couldn't break you. And a lot of times, I was told this in many, many conversations. When you do have an active father in your life or a strong male father figure in your life, it's hard for those type of men to come in and break up and shake up different things because you have that male figure and you have that example. And then sometimes when they know that you have that example, they run because they're like, oh no, she's too strong. They're too strong. And then some take it as a challenge to say, oh no, I can break that because I'm going to show her that her dad or her grandfather or her uncle wasn't like that. So it's amazing that you said that. And we talked about people being a male, well, males specifically being narcissistics. And we talked about that on our show on Saturday. And we had a gentleman who broke down exactly what he used to do to women. And you said that it took you 10 years to tell your story. Because you didn't want to be known as the angry Black woman. And it's a shame that that is the label that you get when you're just trying to teach somebody and you're trying to heal somebody that you have to be angry. Why do you have to be angry? Why can't this just be a teachable moment?
Exactly. And the crazy thing for me with that tagline that we're so easily given is, I may be angry, I may be hurt, and maybe even a little bitter because these negative things were done to me. And I have a right to be that, feel that way. You know, he gets off scot-free, but yet we get a tag. So I purposely wanted to dismiss that and let it have no weight, you know, to stand. So now hopefully we're at the point where we can listen, we can talk.
Because we are at that moment where our best friend outside got his cousins and he made everybody sit down. So now we don't have a choice but to listen because now we've come to different things. And now we know who we live with. because mm-hmm. at times we've been so busy and we didn't know who we were living with, because there's the hustle and the bustle and the mask was on, the facade was there. And now we have to come in the house and see who's in our house. Now these things happen. And now we're like, wow.
Yes.
So yes. It's not that, you know, it took you this long. This is the right time for the conversation. Mm-hmm. Because if you would have said it before, it may not have been received the same way.
Yes.
And I love Amazon because Amazon has everything. So can nobody say they can't find you. They don't have time to go to the store. Just click on Amazon. You got Prime.
On Amazon.
You'll get it that's tomorrow.
It. That's it. That's it. That's so true. That's so true. That is so true.
So yes. You also said that the gentleman you're speaking of was your husband as well as your pastor?
Yes. We had left our home church. And he became senior pastor of, you know, New Start Ministry. And everything he did was for it to look and appear like everything was perfect,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's the pastor part. But when you go home, you live with the man part. But I say in this situation, it was a male. He looked like a man. His behavior was not of a man. He was a male.
Wow.
Which is a totally different person altogether. You know, I've never met someone in my life that will actually tear down the very person that will support you and stand by your side.
Wow.
Take care of the children, take care of the home, you know, try to keep yourself up to date.
Mm-hmm.
But by his own commission, he would just rip the house apart, the marriage apart. His behavior was very immature. You know, he had buzzwords that he would use all the time, and they were so contradictory of who he really was. He was really a monster.
Wow.
And it's only by the grace of God that I was one of the ones who can say that I am an overcomer. Mm-hmm. I'm a survivor of domestic violence. You know, Thank God for that.
Yes. Definitely thank God for that, because there's so many people who didn't survive, and mm-hmm. some that did survive don't want to tell their story because they're ashamed or embarrassed, or yes. they still don't believe that they went through that. Or
yes.
you have society, those people again, mm-hmm. that come and say, mm-hmm. how did you stay there so long? So it becomes a judgmental zone.
Yes.
And we yes. just want everybody to know here that this is a judgment-free zone. And exactly. we can't tell anybody when it's time to get out or that you stayed too long. You know, I can never say that. Even if I was right. in that space with you, I can never say that. Because it's, you had to go through that. You had to carry that so that then you can tell your story and give your contribution to this lovely book. Yes. So how was the book presented to you?
How was it presented, the opportunity? There's a young lady by the name of Carolyn Wilson. I got a few years ago, she nominated me and I won the Sister Choice Awards mm-hmm. for being the voice for domestic violence in our churches. I don't know why we don't think that is very prevalent in our churches mm-hmm. because the church is nothing but a hospital full of sick people.
Exactly.
So, you know, we all have our issues and we all have our dysfunctions and all those things, right? So that's why we usually come to church to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some who refuse to get better and just to stand behind, you know, what they want to do and how they want to be. So she came to me, and in my spirit, before she came, when she sent out her email to me, I knew my answer was going to be yes. And when she came to me, I definitely said, of course, because mm-hmm. I knew it was my time and I needed a push. And by her pushing me and joining this collaboration, I think it's 25 or 26 women all over the world.
Wow.
I mean, in New Zealand, in Hong Kong, in Guyana, in Barbados, in Philadelphia, in North Carolina, South Carolina, Maryland. It's women from all over.
Wow.
And everyone has an amazing story, not only about domestic violence, But I knew my purpose was once I was committed to this collaboration, I knew that wasn't the end for me. And the radio interviews that I had, I've been told like, okay, it's more. This chapter is just not enough.
Right.
And they're right. You know, it is more in me. And my sole goal is to help. We have first ladies in our churches that will cover that seat, you know, will cover the appearance, the role of a first lady, whatever that may be, and go home to an animal.
Yeah.
You know, so my desire is to help the women on the front line, even the men, and it's not just limited to them. Everybody does not have a place to run, you know, for help with family because of different situations. You know, right. It could be a female who's here waiting for her green card. So he manipulates it all. You know, one thing about an abuser, especially if they're narcissistic, they don't want you to work. So they control everything.
Wow.
Your money, your finances. So when people say, why did you stay? You know, they want to be judgmental. Well, some people stay because they don't have anywhere else to go.
Right, right.
And if they have children, you know, then you got to figure out how I'm going to get my children out here. If it's one car, how are you going to get out with one car?
Right, right.
And then who's going to take them? If they have no money, you know, no resources to take care of themselves, who's going to take them where they're safe?
Right.
You know, so before you judge someone, know the story. And what I've learned, I did feel ashamed. You know, like people are going to say I'm weak. And I dismiss all of that because I'm very strong. I'm not weak. I'm strong because I'm an overcomer. I have survived that. This will not govern my life. And it does not depict who I am. Right.
Yes.
Then I had to draw another conclusion that what people think of me is none of my business.
Exactly.
You know, I could care less because I know who I am because of Christ. I know whose I am. I know I belong to him. And I have a mission to accomplish that he put his wet signature on, and that was the blood of Jesus. So it wasn't going to stop at this situation. It matured me. I've gained knowledge. I learned myself. I allow God to break my heart in those stubborn places so that he can heal and mend me, that I can be a better person.
Right.
So I can say now that, no, I didn't like to go. I didn't like going through what I went through. I couldn't stand it. However, I've used that as food for me being stronger and being more determined to do what the Lord would have me to do. So this collaboration was a part of that.
That's awesome. And that just shows how strong your faith is, because I don't know a lot of people. First, I'll go back. So I was told, I don't even know, it was maybe it was one of my grandma's best friends or something. And she said that being in the first lady of a church is a hard seat to sit in. Because like you said, you know, in the church, they're one way. And when they go home, they're something else. And when she said it at the time, I didn't understand that, you know, because at the end of the day, you just see it's the pastor. Like, but the pastor is still a man.
That's right.
At the end of the day. And he still has flesh, and he still has things he has to deal with at the end of the day. But what you see on Sunday is not what you see Sunday evening. Exactly. And she said, you know, some people, they get married because they want that title of first lady. And she said it was so much that goes into that. And when you were talking, that just came back to my head. Like, I don't even know how old I was when she was telling me this and why she told me this.
Just a pearl of wisdom, you know?
And it just shows that even though you went through that, your faith wasn't shaken. Your faith wasn't broken. And you still allow God to minister to you and give you the strength that you needed, even though that was a man of God before you. Along with being your husband.
Yeah.
That's big. It is big
because when you're going through it, the word of God, it appears that it doesn't line up with your situation. You know, I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? That's what the word says, right?
Right.
But in this situation, you feel like you're in a desert all by yourself with no sign of God, right? But his word is true. And that's what I said to God. I can't see it, but I believe it. Mm-hmm. I can't see it. You know, I feel like you have forsaken me. But then I had to stop down the road. It wasn't immediately. And say, God, thank you for your grace and your mercy, because this is a decision and a choice I made.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I allow my emotions to dictate to me what I wanted. And there's nothing wrong with desiring companionship and wanting to be married. But you can't let your emotions navigate your life.
Right.
Because when you're supposed to go straight because of your emotions, you'll make that right turn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you take, you know, you're traveling down the road of hell. Because that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had choice and I had options. But the sad thing is, I have to be honest and transparent. I thank God for his mercies, because when I married him, I didn't love him.
Okay.
He appeared to be nice. He satisfied my longing for being lonely, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, I can grow to love him. So I had some responsibilities there too.
Right, right.
You know, you got to check your emotions. You got to be responsible for your choices. Our emotions will make us make lifetime decisions that bring a lifetime of hell.
Wow. And that's wow. That's so big, because it's, you know, like you said, you grow to love, because people believe that. They believe that they can grow into loving somebody, and you can. But with that type of situation, like, you know, you have like a blinder on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, what are you loving? You're loving, like you said, what he gave to you. And it wasn't the full picture. So when you were writing your book, your chapter, how did you get in the mindset of just letting it flow and being so transparent in your writing?
I believe that that had a lot to do with my healing prior to writing it. So when I was writing it, I had to really, really think about and pray about, what am I going to write in 1,000 words that could possibly be impactful?
Right.
And I just started jotting down things. And I think I tore up things maybe 6 times, because I wanted to hit points that were important, I thought. You know, and I had to say to myself, if this was your last chance and your only chance of writing your story, what would you write?
Right, right.
Didn't want to dismiss the fact of what I went through, but I wanted to glorify the fact that I have overcome it. You know, so it takes a lot of thinking, a lot of processing, and coming out of yourself. Because, you know, when you're writing, and it's been 10 years of healing for me, but it was moments where I said, whoa, 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 whoa.
Right.
Let me put this pen down and take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mind started generating my heart, and that pain started coming back, which I thought I was totally healed from.
Right.
So I had to put the pen down and take a walk and revisit it maybe 2 days later when I got myself together, because certain parts made me angry all over again.
Right.
So it's to be honest with yourself and to write, if this was your last opportunity to say anything to anybody, what would you say in 1,000 words? Wow. That was the greatest challenge I had in my life.
Yeah.
To get myself together. You know, many cups of coffee, many cups of tea, you know, going to bed like, I can't do this. I got to pray, because I thought I was healed.
Mm-hmm.
But certain things just trigger on the inside. And I wanted to go get my baseball bat, right? and crack them in the shins, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, that was my challenging part. Writing was important. So it took a lot of late nights, believe it or not. For 1,000 words, it took a lot of late nights.
Yes.
To try to figure out, you know, what was important.
And that is important, because like you said, that healing and those triggers, you know, I think I would have closed the book and it wouldn't be no chapter. I don't think I would have wrote it, because those triggers, it takes a while before they get back to say, okay, like you said, let me step back and put the book down, walk away and come back. It may have taken me like a couple days or a couple months to walk back to that.
You have to.
And you feel like you're going through it all over again. And it's just like, wow, that's deep. That's deep. So we're going to take a quick commercial break because it looks like Angie's network is messing up a little bit. And we want to give her time to get situated and get time to digest all what she said, because she said some important, important things. And she has a lot more to say. And I want you guys to jot your questions down so you can also ask your question, because I'm trying to keep up with what she's saying. And I'm just taken back, because that just shows strength, you know, alone to have to go through it and then to write about it. Doesn't matter how long, 10, 20 years, the pain is the pain. The situation is a situation. And if you don't completely heal, then you can't take that next leap. You can't take that next thing. And like she said, she wanted to write her chapter as an overcomer, not as a victim. So I want to put a pin right there, and we're going to take a commercial, and we'll be right back.
I feel like busting loose. Busting loose. I said, Shala, come on, y'all say.
If you want to create a drop, release your new song with a pop, do you need an exciting intro for your video, promote your business, products, or shows, contact us for customized digital video packages. For more details, email us at tkbsds.org@gmail.com.
So we are back with Aunt Angie, and she is telling her story about being a contributing author to the book called Her Story. And her story is phenomenal. Her story is amazing. And like I said, it just shows so much strength and courage that she was able to do this. And faith-based. That's exactly what this is, faith-based. Because God definitely gave her his grace and his mercy to write, and strength to write this story, to tell her story, and to tell it in a way that we all can identify with, number one, and that we all can sympathize with, number two, and that we can heal from it, because all of us have gone through something at one time or another and may not have put it in the category of domestic violence or domestic. You just may have put it as, oh, that's just how he is. That's how I am. That's how he was raised. That's how I was raised. We're both broken. Or he was never loved before, so I'm going to show him this love. Or she was never loved before, I'm going to show her this love. And we get into these situations, and then when our best friend came in and sat us all down, and now we had to deal with in black and white and say, whoa, he is broken, but that doesn't mean that gave him a pass to do what he did. Yes, he may not have been loved, but that didn't give him a pass. And we can't keep justifying that and covering that and saying that it's okay, because we don't want to look like a victim. You know, we don't want to look weak, and we don't want to be judged. So now we're taking the covers off, we're taking the pretty glasses off, and we're shining up our shoes, and we're walking in our newness of knowledge. Like Aunt Angie said, she's bringing forth the knowledge of what she went through, and she's helping us heal. So during your chapter writing this, you were still healing, and now you're coming out of, you're giving her your book, and you're like, okay, it's done. How was that feeling for you?
It was so much freedom. I feel like this hidden weight was off of me, because I held it towards my breast for so long. Mm-hmm. And I was in a place of not being afraid you know, but it's almost like I have my past. And I, you know, I passed that course and now I'm in another course mm-hmm. of how can I help? It was just so rejuvenated. I felt like I was resuscitated.
Gotcha. Yes. 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 And putting that pen and that paper and getting that seals, like, woo, done.
Yes.
That's an amazing feeling.
Yes, it is.
That's an amazing feeling. So Tamika Griffin came in and she's giving you applause because, yes, that is an amazing feeling when you've accomplished this and then you peeled off the layers.
Yes.
And now you're like, this is it. This is golden. And now everybody can read this and now you can help us heal. So now, are you still in the healing process even though you finished this? Because you said it's more to come.
It's more to come. I believe that I'm okay. I'm healed. I don't want to say, oh, for sure, because you never know what may trigger you in writing. But that collaboration was a comma.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm in my solo project of writing. Hopefully by the spring, that'll be out.
Okay.
And now I'm okay in doing conferences and stuff that God has given me. I'm resuscitated. I'm going back to those things that he initiated for me to do, but it's just been a different level.
Awesome. So at this level, will you be able to, when you're going through your conferences, are you telling young women and men like what you went through or like triggers to show that this is who you may be dating or even married to? Are you bringing it down to that lowest common denominator?
I am being totally transparent. And if that's what it takes, yes. If I have to get on the floor with you and hold you like a baby while you cry, that's where I'm at. Whatever it takes, so when you get back up, you'll realize that you're fearful and wonderfully made. You have a promise. Your life is not over. This does not define you. It just resuscitates you.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Because you win now. You win.
Yeah.
You have the control. You win. They don't win anymore. That's over. You win.
Right. So you took the control back.
Yes, absolutely.
They lost that control. You took that control back. And you're in your winning season.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I love that. I love that.
And it's fantastic.
I love that. I'm so happy for you.
It's fantastic.
I'm so happy with you. Yes, like that. I feel it. Like I feel when you said you felt that sense of relief. And it's like, yes, I felt it. So I didn't want to say that you had it, but once you said it, it's like you felt that sense of relief because it's like, you know what? It took from here to get here, but I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm here now.
And you know, the thing is this, while you're going through it, I held this from my family for 7 years.
Wow.
And some things I still held because I know my family, right? And I know their life is more important to me on the outside than behind bars, right? I have sons, but one in particular, that's the son you don't call unless you want him to do something.
I was going to say that. I was going to ask that. Yes, yes.
So now,
how did your family, did they read the book with you or are they reading the book now?
They're reading the book now.
Okay.
And even in that chapter, they'll find out some new things, but in my solo project, they'll find out much more that I gave them some things as I was going through. Some things were the obvious when I came back home from the state I was in. Is that I was a size zero. So that was obvious that I had gone through, right?
Right.
It was obvious that I was sick, that my one lung was compensating for my other lung. That was obvious. You know, it was obvious that I would cut, make a sandwich and make a half and maybe only eat the half of the half because I cut that in half.
Right. Right.
So that was the things that they could see and what I shared, they, you know, they draw their own conclusions and what they saw. But to them, it was like, okay, we're getting him. And I still had to be the one to say, your life is more important to me here than behind bars.
Right, right.
So it's so many layers when you write a book or when you become open about domestic violence. So now I believe, God, that we are all in a place where they can receive it, even the things they don't even know.
Right, right. Because that's true. Because yeah. Those sons, they love their mom. And you know, ain't no hurtful to mom when you got them boys.
And it's just like, and that's the reason why I left. Because they were getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a comfortable situation any longer.
Right.
So, you know, he challenged one of my sons and he wanted to fight him and all that kind of stuff. So that's when, you know, it's time. And then my oldest son was not by him. If I would have shared that with him.
Right.
You know, you can't even begin to articulate what he would have done because he wouldn't have cared that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at me and I'm sick and I'm small. You're saying you're okay, but that's not what you look like.
Right, right. Because you thought you were hiding it pretty well.
Yeah, I was. To the point that I forgot to eat. So then I was about 10, 12 when I married him and you know, met him. And then I'm coming home and I'm a size zero, a junior 16.
Wow.
Because I forgot to eat. That's how much emotional and mental and verbal.
Wow. That's heavy right there because you were so consumed with the situation that just something as simple, it might be simple to me as eating, wasn't so simple for you to do.
People asked me, some people thought I was sick. Some said, did you eat today? And I said, let me think about that. You know, because I was protecting my brother, Ricky, protecting my boys, protecting the church family, protecting too much when that was God's responsibility. And that was not the mandate God put on me.
Right, right.
But because you love and you want people to be okay, you get in that mode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm home, I'm fighting for my mental stability.
Wow. Yeah, see, and I say this all the time, like you never know someone's story until they're willing to tell it. And then to look at you today, it's like you don't look like what you've been through.
I thank God for that. You know, I thank God for his, it just makes me well up in tears.
Right.
That God didn't give up on me. That he didn't forsake me, you know.
Yes.
That he placed me in a family who had me. Because I left everything. The businesses, the 5-bedroom house, he took my car. I left everything.
Wow.
The scripture that was so relevant to me, and because God's word, like I said before, doesn't always line up with your situation.
Right.
He said, I will restore everything that the locusts and the cankerworms have taken. Your ladder shall be greater. Now, going through this, I don't see that.
Yes.
But today, I can say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
My ladder is greater. You restored everything plus some. And you're not even finished.
Nope. Just started. Wow. That's a testimony right there within itself.
I love him so much.
Right. Wow. If you don't even know scripture, just that verse you said, everybody should have just got chills right now. Because I don't care what anybody is going through, that verse, that scripture is so powerful with any and everything. It's like, you know, we take so many things for granted. And then when something happens, you just look back and be like, wow, you took so much from me. But now what I thought you took so much from me is little compared to what you have given me now. And where I am at this moment is greater. And he promised that he would give us greater. Mm-hmm. And like you said, when you're going through it, you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you believed it. And you kept that faith. And that is so hard when it's so dark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was all I had.
Wow.
You know, that was all. Because everything else I was leaving or losing.
Yeah.
Down to my finances. That was all I had.
Yeah.
Was the word of God and his promises. That was all my businesses, was my job that I left that behind. That was all I had. And I'm going to tell you something. In the midst of that, God would just touch people's heart. There would snap your cards. Money would fall out of it. You know, I used to kid about my sister. I said, that's my joint. Like every week, she puts some money on, you know, she puts some money on a dresser for me. My nieces, my brother, you know what I'm saying? A good friend of mine's got a lot of our paths to connect. He gave me a job.
Wow.
So everything that I needed, I have need of, God provided that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the midst of it, like you said, it didn't look like what he said he would do. It didn't look like it.
Right.
But, you know, but because he's a God that can't lie, nor a man that he shall repent, he's faithful to his word. Mm-hmm. And I'm a living example, a living epistle of the word of God is true. You got to believe it. In spite of what you see, you got to believe it.
Wow, you just encouraged me. You just encouraged me. Oh my goodness, because that is so, so true. It's like it doesn't, and I always ask that question when you're going through something and you believe in God, you know God's going to bring you out of it, but how do you pray? Because it doesn't look like, it doesn't feel like I don't like where I am right now. How am I praying for something and I continuously pray for this? And it's nothing moving. From what I can see, it's nothing moving.
You ask God to help your unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's hard for me to believe it because I don't see it. I'm in pain. I'm uncomfortable. I know you can change it, but for some reason you haven't. So what are you saying to me? What do I need to be doing at this particular time to change it? I know you can, but what's your will?
Yes.
I'm navigating my life. I open both my hands, and I want you to navigate, because that's the only way I'm going to get out of this. That's the only way things are going to change, you know, and you got to, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says that we need to have faith the size of a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
I probably believe half of a mustard seed.
Wow.
All the faith I could muster up, because I was flatlining day by day.
Yeah.
But I believe with the half a seed of a mustard seed that God, you said, this is not what I said. You said.
Right.
I can have anything as long as I ask in the name of Jesus that the Father may glorify the Son. God, you said the word will return into your void, but accomplish the very things you set it out to do. God, you said it. You said it. So based on what you said, I'm standing on it. And I'm waiting on you to turn this thing around. Show me what I need to do.
Right. Exactly. That is exactly what it is. And you said it so plain. You can't say it no plainer than that. Because that is all you can do. His word does not come back void.
That's right.
And it's like you said it, and this is where you are. And you know, everybody know, all our viewers know, church always comes up in the room. It's no way around it. No way.
It's our core. It's our core.
It's in us. It's going to come out. Mm-hmm. Even when we try not to let it come out, it comes out. So for those of you who are viewing, this is not for you. This is not for you. This is all about God getting all the glory and everything, because this is him. This is his strength right here. And you are the greatest example of what God can do and how God can bring you out in spite of. He's going to get the glory.
He is. I'm sorry. You know, I apologize if I offended anyone, but
no.
I don't apologize for what he has done and who he is in my life.
Yep. That's what he said. No apologies here. That's my disclaimer for everything. I'm going to offend you when I talk about God, because that's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to let anybody come on and let their light dim because we're talking about God.
That's right.
It's not possible, because everything that we do is because of him. Everything that we go through, my grandmother taught me young, that everybody's shoulders is what they carry. That's it's right. Not for everybody. And if he picked you to carry it, he's going to bring you through it. He's just not going to give it to you without giving you the tools that you need to carry it.
That's right.
And that's just what this is. So we do have a question. It says, what do you do when you know they're going through and they're not for you or they fool you? You know they need to get, you know they need to get out. Can you help them or do you have to wait for them to be ready?
I would say that you have to wait for them to be ready. You have to assure them that you're there for them, if I'm understanding the question correctly. Assure that you're there for them, but it's their decision and their choice.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are in these type of situations, your timing is not even important.
Right.
You know, it's when they feel, because there's so many things behind the scene that you may not even know.
Mm-hmm.
That they have to contend with, right? And when we're looking on the outside, we often say, they're taking too long. Why are they doing this? Well, we don't know everything, right?
Right, right. So
let them know that you're available. You know, keep your eye on them. Don't take your eye off of them. And hopefully and prayerfully they'll know and they'll trust that they can depend on that person to help them out this situation.
Right, right. So we have another point. So God gave you what you needed for your journey to get through and have the power to continue the fight to tell your story so someone else can make it out just like you.
Amen. That's right. That's the goal. That's the goal.
Yes. That's and then, of course, Shauna has to come in and say, take your text, because Angie was, she was preaching a few minutes ago. I heard it. I was getting ready to tell her, don't change your voice, Angie. Don't change your voice. I don't have my tambourine with me, so I can only make my bracelets jingle. Yes, but Shauna also said, we went through so we can tell people how we got through and who was the one who brought you through. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because
right. As our pastor always says, you didn't get out by pulling up your own bootstraps.
That's right. Absolutely. That's for sure. That is for sure.
That just makes country sense. Right. That. That's what he says. That just makes country sense.
Yes.
That's beautiful. I said, I'm inspired. I can't wait to get the book. So you said we can find the book on Amazon. Is there anywhere else we can find the book?
As of right now, that's the only place. And it's her H.E.R. story.
Okay.
Yes. And I hope I can come back out when my project is done.
Yes. I can't wait. I read the rough draft. It's okay. Because I'm excited. And I love hearing stories this way, because a lot of people will say they didn't go through it, so they don't want to read the book. And it's like, but it doesn't matter that you didn't go through it. I just got strength just from hearing your story. And I haven't gone through none of what you said, but I've got strength to know that what I did go through or may be going through, I can come out of it too.
That's right. Or it can stop you from even mm-hmm. going from approaching it, you know?
Right. Because you gave us those keys and the triggers to look out, because, you know, us young women, we can be preyed on, because like you said, we're lonely. You know, I'm about to be an empty nester, but it's okay. Because, you know, my boo is not going to let me be by myself for too long, you know. But if he wasn't here, by me about to become an empty nester, I could possibly run into that thing and say, you know what? My house is too quiet.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? And then I see that good looking thing walking by. That's my type.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fall right into it because it's so easy to do.
And you fall into your type exteriorly. You don't even know what's going on the inside.
Right.
So the inside got to match up with the outside. Now, I'm not saying you got to get somebody that's not attracted to you, because that never works.
Right.
Because you wind up cheating and all being disenchanted and all that, right? But you got to take the time. That's your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
To get the inside. Like my husband now is total opposite of what I was going after.
Awesome. You
know, he can wear the Gators, but that's he'll work at me. He wear Tim's, right?
Right.
But his heart is different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to keep you in any relationship you're in. You got to look at the inside of that person.
Right. So that's a good segue to go to this next point. So you did not stop love. you no. still allow someone to get close. So let's talk about Uncle. Come through, Uncle.
It took a minute because you're still kind of, you know, gun shy. Mm-hmm. And getting to know who I am again and realizing what's important to me. And what's important to me and healthy for me doesn't always come the way I want to package. Now, it ain't bad on the eyes, but it's not cut, you know, you're not accustomed to that.
Right.
So I say the story and I'm going to get off because I don't wear out of time. But he did something amazing. My niece, Mika, and one of my girlfriends hooked us up. He came over and fixed something that my sister had. And then, you know, a little flirtation here and there. So they said, you're going to get out and start dating again. Or whatever. But I called him to thank him some for what he did at my sister's home. Mm-hmm. I said, thank you. And, you know, maybe we can go out for cocktails or appetizers or whatever. He said, well, where are you thinking about going? And I started naming, you know, my 5-star places. That
right.
One.
Right.
He cut me down. He said, no. I said, no. I was like, what the heck? Then he proceeds to say, is there a diner near you? I said to myself, a diner? I said, oh, this ain't going to work. So I said, yeah. Went to the diner. We were there for about 3 hours. Amazing conversation.
Wow.
After that date, you know what he told me? He said, the reason why I didn't want to take you up on the 5-star restaurant, because if this did not work, I never wanted you to say that I took your money.
Wow. You better come through, Uncle. I know that's right.
I was okay, let me look at him a little differently. Let me turn my head this way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes.
As they say, he's an OG. You know what I mean?
That's so right. That's right.
Fake and phony, and that's not who he is. And I realized that's what I was accustomed to. You know, he's that dude that, oh, no, not this week. We can't do that this week. Oh, no, no, no. That's truth, right?
Yes, yes. That's yes.
Right, Peter, to pay Paul to keep fronting for you. So, yeah, he's not what I was used to, but he's good for me.
And that's the most important.
You know, I like that thug. I do.
I know that's right. Ain't nothing wrong with a little thugging. There's nothing wrong with that.
You got to feel like you're being protected, look, right?
You a fighter. So you a fighter. So you need right. that thug next to that's you because you can't be the one fighting and he running the opposite direction.
I have that one. So he can pray and fight all at the same time.
So that's right.
Win, right? So win. I thank
that's you. Right.
Yes, I thank you all so much for this opportunity. I love you guys.
Pieces love you me. Too. You know. Oh my goodness, I had so much fun with you this evening. Thank me you too. For coming in with us.
A thousand mm-hmm. times. And yes. You know, anything I can do, you know, it's always a yes for you guys. It's always that. It's all, but just keep me lifted up in prayer.
Always, always.
I love you to pieces.
Love you too.
No, I love you in that special place, right?
Yes, that special place.
Until the next time.
Till the next time.
Love you, girl. Take care. Tushan, I love her too.
I sure will. Thanks all again.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
And we're going to take a commercial while Angie leaves the room. We're going to take a quick commercial break while Angie gets herself together and exits the room.
Jazz on the Pike. Illusion. 403 West Baltimore Pike, Clifton Heights, PA 19018. Reservations are recommended. Hosted by Andrea M. Jackson.
Dun, 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 dun. So this was outstanding for sure. I was knocked out for sure. I told you guys that ING is the bomb.com. I told y'all that. Did I say that in the beginning? If not, I'm saying it now. I told you that she had a great story to tell. I told you you're going to be uplifted, inspired, and motivated. And you're going to feel like a superwoman that you can just push you on to the next thing. Like I said, we always know church is going to come up in the room. Anytime TKBSDS Productions is on the floor, church comes in the room, because when it's in you, it's just in you. And it's going to come out regardless. And what she explained, what she went through, she told her story. You have to get the book. It's on Amazon.com. Blow it up. If you don't have Prime, it's okay. Let me know. Inbox me and I'll get the Prime for you. I'll get the book for you. So the book is HH.E.R.Story. It is a lovely book talking about multiple things, but Angie's part is about domestic violence and what she went through and what she experienced. Her chapter is just in that portion of the book, but it doesn't stop there because she has a story to tell. And she showed us, if you didn't see it, go back, okay? Go back to our podcast, go back and streams to iHeartRadio, Google, go to we're everywhere. I don't even can't tell where we are because we're everywhere. And replay this. Play on your lunch, play on your way to work, your way home, play it in the midnight when you sleeping or whatever. Or you can go to our.com and replay it under programs. So let me just throw it out there because someone brought it to my attention today. When you go to our.com, you must put www.tkbsdsproductions.com. If you just put tkbsdsproductions.com, it will take you to our page, but you may not be able to access everything on the page. So please, ma'am, please, sir, put the www dot in front of it so that you can go to the page and then you can watch all of our programs, because we are here, as you just saw, we're here Sunday to Sunday. And we have an experience for you every night. And did you notice some things we talked about today? We talked about on Saturday. See how it all goes together? And you would think, under the live button, you would think that that would be the key. But if you don't put the www dot, it takes you to a live experience, but it's not the experience that we're watching today. Who knew? So, of course, someone had to try to, like they was telling me something. So I just told you, okay? Knowledge is power. Reading is fundamental. So I don't want to take anything from our experience tonight. So thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir, for coming in. And most importantly, thank you, Angie, for coming in and not being a stranger with us and being willing to share her story. I know something she said tonight moved you. I know something she said tonight uplifted you. I know something she said tonight inspired you. No matter what. Okay, so if you're not dealing with what she dealt with, just seeing her strength, hearing her strength, seeing her passion, feeling her passion come through, just pushed you to make that next move. And whatever that next move is, if that is getting out of the situation, if that is starting your book, if that is just getting a pen and paper and starting your paragraph to begin your chapter, something she said tonight drop something in your spirit. The seed has been planted. The water is about to come and is about to flourish. So you will see more of I'm Angie. But before we go, she left us with her uplifting song. And if this doesn't get you, if what she said didn't get you, this definitely will get you. So get your tissues if you must. Get your hallelujah hands if you must. Get your feet moving if you must. It's not Sunday, but it's okay to still praise him in spite of, because you know where he has brought you from and you know where he's about to take you to. So I'm done preaching for right now, and we're going to let an Angie uplifting song take us out of here. But I thank you guys for coming in to listen. Again, I am here on the first and third Monday of the month, and I will definitely see you again sometime throughout this week. Tomorrow, our men will not be here, so don't look for them, but it's okay. Go to the.com, go under our listings and streamings, and you can get what you got last week from them. You can hear it again because it still applies. That's what we do. It's all about the know, the K, N-O-W, because now you're in the know, the K, N-O-W. So thank you guys for joining me. It was a privilege and an honor to be before you this evening, and I'm going to let our inspirational song take us out of here. So this is Aunt Angie's inspirational moment. Don't worry, it's coming. Don't worry, it's coming. You know we have to cue it up in the queue. We have to uplift it in the moment, in the minute, in the hour, in the second. It's coming through.
I just wanna pray
forever, come on.
Forever
and ever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
For all. You've done for me. Blessings and.
Blessings and glory.
Get tired of you. He deserves all the glory. He deserves. righteous. Why? Because he's just God. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. Some of us bow down. Some of us bow down. We bless you. 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 Lord, we praise you. Lord, we give your name praise. Get some glory out of our lives. Get glory. Get glory. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Good night, everyone.
When you talk, you're only repeating what you already know. But if you listen, you may learn something new. Thank you for joining. Be safe and see you next Monday.